end of June, yes.
Okay, so Amy gave me a list of questions. Can her husband have a raise?
I did not give you this list of questions. Let's do an intervention right now. First of all, I don't think he'd be the one to go to. I think it's all of those legislators.
But he they're is too still busy. The boss.
They're too busy thinking about other things. But you are still the boss, and I did not ask that question. But it's a good
it sure
one.
Made her nervous, though,
it's a
it?
Solid question.
You jumped in pretty quick on that
she
one.
Sure
again.
Did. She
You're
sure
welcome.
Did. So, Colonel, what made you pull the pin?
I tell you what, it was a long conversation with my better half, Sue, and you've met my two boys,
yep.
Matt and Ben.
And they're at an age where there's a lot of stuff to go
there's
to.
There's a lot of stuff to go to, and they're both very involved in school, the athletics, everything else. Matt now goes to NDSU, doing fantastic there. But his senior year, Joel, I was in Bismarck. I missed I don't know how many different award banquets, this, that, the other, yeah. You can about imagine. And Ben, it's going to be his senior year. We're going to be looking at colleges this summer. Going to take in all those banquets that I missed when I was out west. And so it's time.
I want to say this about the Colonel. I have met his family, and a great family that they are. But you found ways to make it work. I saw you at a lot of different sporting events. I saw you at a bunch of Bison football games. I saw you at West Fargo games. I mean, I don't want it to sound like you didn't ever find the way east to see your kids either. You did.
And you're spot on. I've had tremendous flexibility in the role that I've been allowed to finish out my career in. And I think the agency, by and large, allows that, particularly for a law enforcement agency.
Well, I meant it more along the lines of you prioritized it. I mean, I like that
thanks.
About you.
Thanks, I appreciate
it. Let's talk about the job.
Yep.
When the year you started with the patrol was year?
1987.
Okay, think about that. 1987. In 1987, in Williston, they were talking about what in the world are we going to do? All of this thing that we have, this big oil boom has gone bust, and we've got a bunch of cement pads, and we don't know where these trailer houses all went. One day they were here, the next day they're gone. And in Fargo, we were talking in 1987 about a town that was around 60-some thousand people probably. I'm using, you know, somebody's going to call in and fact check these, but I'm using generalizations. I mean, think about this state that you have been head of the Highway Patrol over. And think about where it's at today versus when you started.
It's not even the same. I look back, you know, agency, we could have these coffee shop talks, and we do, you know, with guys like Mitch Rumpels, and we get together, we kind of laugh. We had radios with four channels, literally. We thought we were in the technological boom when we got new CBs so that we could talk to the truckers, Joel. You take a look at the state demographics and how things are changed and how they've really ramped up with a strong economy and the oil boom right now. Literally, our resources out on the road, Joel, have done, since I've been in this role, a complete flip-flop. What I mean by that, we are now, we certainly outstaff the eastern half of the state with our resources out west. And it's needed. It's needed.
Yeah.
And so that
and
takes time.
And deserved.
Yes.
I mean, these folks out west don't need to be living in the wild, wild west. And they needed more patrolmen. They needed more men and women on the ground wearing a badge saying, you know what, you don't get to do that here.
Yeah, yeah. And it's but that's a challenge because I tell you what, we're not any different than another employer out there. And, you know, people in our agency are allowed to transfer and move and settle into locations, and their spouses and families get settled into a location. You just don't go up to them and say, guess what? Pack your bag. You're gone.
Yeah.
You're going to this new location. We have to try to make those changes oftentimes through our graduating recruit classes. And fill those holes, and it gets to be a little bit longer process than maybe somewhat. We've tried some new angles in accelerating those recruit classes, and I think we're meeting the challenge, Joel.
What is going to be some of your greatest memories of being a member of the North Dakota Highway Patrol?
Real quick, I could name a couple of them. First of all, in 1998, I was asked by then Superintendent Jim Hughes to attend the FBI National Academy. It was outstanding experience, one that I feel played an integral role in where I'm at today. The relationships, I tell you what, Joel, it's certainly hard to explain, but I've used the analogy. These folks that I get a chance to work with, both sworn and civilian, they truly are like family. It seems like an overused term. But what we go through, especially as officers, in the up and down emotion of this job and quite frankly, some of the dangers of the job, without a support group like we have in our organization, we couldn't do it alone. And I certainly wouldn't be sitting here and talking about the end of my career. But and then
is the job more dangerous now than what it was before?
Yes.
And why?
Joel, because a lot of factors coming into that. The state's growing. The state is growing. The population is growing. I think there is a societal change or an attitudinal change when it comes to a certain respect towards law enforcement. Maybe TV and how they glamorize or how people go about that, but it certainly is. And we are very aware of that as an organization. We take very seriously the defensive tactics training. And I tell you what, our officers need to get home at night. When you take a look at people driving out there, Joel, it's still our number one factor. Whether it's distracted driving, whether it's speed, but it's individual decisions made by drivers, and many times they're not a good decision, and it leads to crashes out there.
I was thinking of that the other day. I saw a trooper that had pulled over someone for whatever reason, doing their job, and they were talking to the individual at the car door, and I was thinking how easy it would be for them to be struck. In today's world, I mean, with you see it, Colonel. You pull up to a stoplight. How many people do you see that are on their cell phones at a stoplight?
Oh, it is the newest and quite frankly the most hated distraction out there right now, both from the public. But the lawmakers tried to address that. They did address that. It is it's something that is going to fast become the leading cause of crashes if it hasn't already in many areas. And the officer out on the side of the road, Joel, that is just a fraction of a second away from somebody being hurt and hurt seriously. We encourage our officers. We train our officers. Depending on the circumstances, depending on the location, use the passenger side. And it's becoming more and more commonplace for us.
You said that once to me before, and you know how many miles I put on a year. Maybe it's old habit for some of them, but they don't always do that.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. It becomes something where they'll go up. Oftentimes they'll make the initial contact on that side, either have them move over or realize, you know, hey, I'm going to get over on the other side. Sometimes it's how fast you can get up there, depending on what the officer is observing or what they sense. And
you want to get there before they hide something?
Yeah, well, you never know.
Right. Stick around. Colonel Jim Prochniak, he's been absolutely great to us here on News and Views, always making the patrol available to the public they serve. But I've got some just general questions I'm wondering. I'm just going to say this to you, the audience. I'm wondering if retirement doesn't free you up on certain things, which not the least of which I'll tell you right away what I'm going to ask you when I come back is, you know, do we have our speeding fines too low? Could we tighten it up in North Dakota there? Because I will tell you this, I had a daughter that went to Marquette to law school, and if you had a North Dakota license plate and you were going 66 miles per hour on the interstate in Wisconsin, you got picked up because the speed limit was 65, and the ticket was enough to write home about. So let's go find Terry Spees and find out what's going on in our weather center. Terry? Welcome back to News and Views. Joel Heitkamp, your host, sitting with the retiring colonel, the head of the North Dakota Highway Patrol, Colonel Jim Prochniak. Colonel, we were talking, yeah, I could do this all day just because I find your job so fascinating, but I'm going to ask you this. You're getting out now. You had to play this game because you had to live between the funding side of your force and advocate for your, and yet treat lawmakers with respect. I'm sure you're still going to do that, but At some point, when as head of Highway Patrol, do you look at lawmakers and say, raise the fines for speeding? I mean, can you do that now? Can you say that now?
You know, it's
not going to be rose petals. You know?
Well, I appreciate you putting me on the spot. I tell you what, Joel, you know, when I have those conversations, whether it be speeding, and speeding is one of the most predominant offenses, there certainly is a happy medium. I don't think we're there. I think they are low. I think that there has to be some consideration. I know that they've addressed that in various fines and various laws over the last few sessions. So I think that the legislative body, you know, Joel, you were in it. They move rather slow and they digest these things. They consider them. But one of the reasons that I say, particularly speeding, that they should consider it, our traffic counts are different than they were even a decade ago, mm-hmm. a lot different. And we're pushing a lot of different vehicles up and down the road through communities. Now, granted, there's some byways that are being built, and that'll occur in over a number of years. But when you get that much congestion out there, and speed kills, quite frankly, speed kills, Joel. And if you only have a small fine that isn't much more than a latte that people are driving through at Starbucks, there's not much of a deterrent effect. It doesn't get that's the last thing that they're thinking about. They're thinking about getting to their destination. Right. They're not
as
thinking,
fast
you know
as they
what?
Can.
Exactly. They're not thinking about, well, by gosh, if I do get caught, this might sting a little bit. Now, I don't want people to misinterpret what I'm saying. I don't think these fines that are triple digits and just outlandish that you'll hear examples of are the right answer either. But I think ours are outdated.
When you went about and went and spoke to Governor Dalrymple and said, you know, this was great, thank you for the opportunity, but, you know, I'm going to head to a different place. What role, if any, did you play in picking your successor?
Well, we had a brief discussion. You know, they're always curious what my thoughts are, what outgoing superintendents are. And I think that's important. I think it's also a sign, maybe, that you've done things the proper way while you were in that role, that they're going to value your opinion. But by and large, the decision is theirs. I respect that. My replacement, Major Mike Gearhart, has been on headquarters staff for a number of years. He played a couple crucial roles in our PIO, well, public information, safety and education. So in that role, he was pumping out media information about our agency. And it does tie into some of the public information staff at the governor's office. So they already had that connection. They were already familiar with this person. And then, of course, he ran the training academy, which means
he knows all everyone.
Oh, my
that's
goodness.
Out there.
It exposes him to a lot of different law enforcement throughout the state.
Let me throw this at you, because this is the first thing I thought of. I knew, I've known you for a long time, and I knew that what was going on in your personal life in terms of getting back and seeing these boys the way you wanted to was weighing in on your decision to leave and to take this position you've got and to say, you know what, I'm going to head back to Fargo with this. But I thought, with all the tread left on the tire here, you might sag back and stay with the troop for a while. Was that hard? Was there an opportunity to do that? Or once you reached that highest position, can you even go back to saying, hey, just give me a job. I want to be out there working for you.
That's not how I want to go. I have been tremendously blessed throughout my career. And I get a chance, you know, it's kind of like Michael Jordan or whatever, to leave on top. To leave on top of what I could argue is one of the best organizations, not only in the state, but in the country, Joel. And so I'll ride off into the sunset, and I'm tickled to get back home. I can't say that enough. So, no, I didn't want to re-enter in another role, another position, and quite frankly, I want to take a look at something on the other side of life, the private sector.
Where you actually get paid a lot of money to do something, maybe.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, it just gives me the opportunity. I tell you what, a career in law enforcement is difficult. It is very difficult. God bless those that are wearing the uniform. I don't care what color that uniform is. Over a career, there are a lot of things that can make you think maybe negatively because you're dealing with an element out there that isn't always the best, Joel.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to a fresh start.
I was thinking of your Sue, and I was thinking of how for her, it not only does she got you coming back to Fargo, but there's something about, I would guess, being a law enforcement officer's wife. And I have this conversation with Amy often, knowing that they're going out every day, and it's, I know that they've got to kind of take that as it comes, and they, I don't want them to sit and think about it every day, but you still are worried. I mean, your husband's going off into a dangerous place every day.
Absolutely. I've been fortunate that I'm finishing my career where I didn't have to face that element every single day, but I've never lost that mindset that we have those officers out there.
So, Colonel, thank you for your service to North Dakota.
I appreciate the time and the venue to expose our agency, Joel.
Colonel Jim Prochniak, ladies and gentlemen. All right, when we come back, let's start the phone lines. Let's get them going. Got a lot of things to bring up.
We're here with Dwayne from Agassiz Drain Tile. And Dwayne, can you move water off my field?
And you know,